Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Special Studios. You didn't know if I was going to start there, Colfax. You're starting to wonder.
It's about ready to play the hold music.
Why is it like every time I'm getting ready to start the show, then I'm like, I have all this time to prepare. Then when I sit down 5 minutes before the show, my brain starts going into overdrive. Like, oh, I forgot this. I forgot that. I forgot this. I forgot that. Why is that?
I don't know.
It's weird, man. It's weird. We got a good show lined up for you today on this Wednesday already. We're going to have UNC volleyball head coach. We don't talk a lot of volleyball, and it's probably a crime, to be real honest with you, because there is some great volleyball going on in this area. And how about the UNC Bears last night? They beat CSU for the first time since 1982. Yeah, pretty crazy. And the first set, they lost 25-11. They bounce back and win the whole thing. So congrats to UNC. We're going to talk to Lindsey Oates about that in about 10 minutes or so. We'll talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. The Buffs have some interesting news. Mustafa Johnson, I want to get into that because Brian Howell tweeted this out moments ago, and I retweeted it, that he is now, because he was going to basically opt into the draft side of it. Big news for the Buffs, Brian tweeted, defensive lineman Mustafa Johnson, who declared for the draft in January but wasn't selected, has been granted an NCAA waiver to return to CU. So he declared for the draft about 8 months ago and wasn't drafted. Hasn't signed on as a free agent or anything like that. But and because I don't know how that works. I really don't. So maybe Mark can shed some more light on that for us. We'll talk about it. Ralphie's not going to be on the show. Ralphie is set to make her debut? Because Ralphie's always a... Is that right? Friday night. And I have had arguments with this, and I will fight anybody. It is the greatest tradition in all of college sports. A live buffalo running around the field, Colbs. What's better than that? Like a herd of buffalo, maybe? That might be borderline dangerous. Borderline. It's the best. It's the absolute best one. So I'm pumped for this. Ralphie, I'll be there. I'm going to be there Friday night. I know. You guys have heard me talk about it, but I am. Ralphie's set to debut this Friday night. I'm excited. It's pumped. We got the line out. At least one line we've seen. Buffs are favored to win by 35.5 points. I mean, I told you guys, I always stay away from these because for the Buffs side, it's like, well, what do the wise guys know about UNC? What are the trends showing that we don't know? And then on the other side, it's like, do you trust any team to win by 36 points on any given game? I mean, do you trust Alabama to beat a UNC team by 36? Maybe, but still, that's a lot. There's a lot to go into it because does Alabama go up 28-0 and then they start to pull their foot off the pedal and they put in some backups? I never trust spreads like that. They're scary to me. But I'm very tempted. I'm very tempted to take the Bears to cover. I was on with Tanner earlier on NoCo Now. had Coach Massari jump on, wrestling coach, and he was challenging Micah to a wrestling match. And now he's saying, Colfax versus Micah, winner advances and takes on him. I don't know that you want to win that match now, Colfax. You might just let Micah win.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, so I'd like you to lose that because I'd really like to see Michael, wrestle somebody that's good and then just see what happens. Yeah, that'd be good. You a big wrestler fan? You a big wrestling guy?
Like fake or real wrestling?
Both.
I wrestled in middle school.
That's right.
Yeah.
I wrestled in middle school as well. It was a good time. We had to get Troy on here, UNC wrestling coach, to give us some tips. He was at the coach's show last night. It was really cool last night, man. Jerry Schimmel hosted this thing. Ed McCaffrey was there. And I'm going to do this every coach's show. I'm going to give you the update. What was Ed drinking? Can you guess? Take a guess. I'll give you $5 right now if you can take a guess what Ed was drinking.
Diet Cola.
It's a good guess. Hot tea.
That was way off.
Yeah. I don't think Ed's a big drinker. I really don't. I think he's more of a hot tea kind of guy. He was there for a few segments. That was fun. Listening in at the GOAT. That was a great time. You guys got to make plans to stop by there. It's going to be Tuesday nights, every Tuesday night, 6 to 7. And it was cool, man. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, I've been to a lot of UNC coaches shows. And they are what they are. They're just not an event. Last night, after each segment, crowds cheering, clapping, going crazy for Ed, for Jerry. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I really... And this is why at the end of the day... Ken Bone. You already won Top Text Tuesday, man. You've been on fire lately. He says, guarantee he'll be a heavy drinker by the end of the season. Maybe. Maybe. I honestly, I know I'm a know-it-all, Colfax. I do know that. But do you have any realistic predictions for how UNC is going to be? I'm just having a hard time getting my head around this thing. Because I'll sit there and I'll be thinking, I'm studying stuff and I'm going over a few things. And then I'll think, UNC could hang in there. But then the logical part of my brain goes, based on what? Dylan McCaffrey? Okay. Really liked our conversation with Kyle Ergenbright. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's Big Sky versus Pac-12. And the last time we saw the Buffs, for better or for worse, we saw them in the Alamo Bowl. So they were good. I mean, they made it there. So for me to just go, no, I think the Bears are going to upset. I'm not going there. And then on the other side, I think, Colfax, this thing could be a 40-point game. This thing could be a blowout. I'm just ready to get there. I'm ready to get to Friday. I mean, I'm having a hard time. My patience is wearing thin. We've been waiting so long to see this Ed McCaffrey thing, Colfax. If we don't have this game for some reason because of the Delta Chi variant or whatever, I'm going to lose my freaking mind. So we got to have this game. Dixon says, I usually go ahead and add a touchdown to a spread like that if I'm taking the favorite. So if it's 35, I pretend it's 42 to cover the last second touchdown by the losing team. I doubt CU rubs McCaffrey's nose in it, so I'd take the points. All right, that's the power to play sports poll question of the day. Do the Bears cover? One line I've seen, and I don't know if it's official, because for some reason it's really hard this day and age to track down lines for the teams that we follow. I don't know why. But I did see on Twitter from somebody who has 3,000 followers, but Brian Howell shared that person's tweet, so I trust Brian, that the first line that we've seen for UNC, CU Friday night, Buffs are favored by 35.5. Will the Bears cover? You've got $1 million to put on this thing, and you have to bet on this game. Are you betting on the Bears to cover this spread? 75% of the hooligans say yes. They think the Bears are going to cover this thing. Which still doesn't make it, like, even if they barely cover it, I don't think anybody's walking away going, yeah, I feel good about that. They need to probably, if they're going to lose, to feel good about this, do you go what happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever that was? When they lost by 20? Was it 41-21? The color commentator for the Bears, Aaron Rath, commented and said, you know, they lost by 20 3 years ago, but this Bears team is better than that team. And I would say, yes. Just quarterback alone, not a knock on Jacob Nipp, but Dylan McCaffrey is Dylan McCaffrey. But is CU better than what they were 3 years ago? Based on last year, you would say yes. Oh, now it's 60% saying yes. Go vote at theholeshow.com. I'm curious how this thing ends, because this is how I'm going to bet. I'm now using this site to help me bet. 12:15 the time. We're going to take a short break. I'm going to talk about something exciting that happened last night. And this is volleyball. The volleyball scene in this area is really cool. And, I mean, it's like everybody's talking about it. CSU had a huge turnout Saturday night for their game. They bounce back. They go up against UNC last night. And the Bears do it. They beat the Rams for the first time since 1982. We're going to talk to head coach Lindsay Oates about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We'll be right back.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Now joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, UNC Bears head volleyball coach Lindsey Oates. Boy, this was exciting. The UNC volleyball team took down Colorado State for the first time since 1982. Coach, congratulations on a great win last night, and really a great moment for UNC.
It was, yes, very exciting win. The match could have definitely gone either way. So we are very fortunate that to pull out those last 2 points of the match, because it was, you know, in some ways a historic win.
Well, talk to us about that first set. I mean, things were pretty rocky there, that first set, and you guys bounced back. Can you talk to us about that transition from the first set to the second set?
Yeah, we got smoked in the first set. I mean, it was ugly. I'm not quite sure. I can't put my finger on what was going on. I thought we played a little nervous. We played tight. I don't know what contributed to that, but the positive is that we were able to turn it around. The best thing about volleyball is you start over again at 0-0, and you don't have to play catch-up from that moment like you would in, you know, a basketball or football. So what I said between games one and two is just that, hey, we came here to win three sets. We still have three sets in front of us. Let's do it. And so we were able to kind of crawl back in early in the second set. It still wasn't great volleyball, but kept it close enough to pull out that second set. And then I thought the match turned for us.
Yeah, you're right, though. That's one of those things that I do love about volleyball, because you can have that set where it's like, wait, who are these girls? And then a moment later, the very next one, then you go, oh, there it is. So sometimes, right, I mean, you can just kind of have those off moments, and it can last a little longer than you'd like. But a couple of, I mean, any key changes as far as personnel? What did you do as far as that? Did anything, any key ingredient to turn it around?
No, there really wasn't anything. As the first set was ending and maybe as the second set started, we tried some new things with our setting, because we have two very good setters. But that wasn't really the fix, and we didn't stick with it either. I mean, that's not what eventually won the match. So we did try some different things there, but that wasn't the biggest factor. I think really it came down to serving. We knew we had to be a great serving team against Colorado State, and we couldn't affect them at all with our serve in the first set. We either served too soft or we erred. And so we got to make them pass a lot of balls, and I thought we were able to get our serve going about midway through the second set, and we're pretty consistent after that.
We're talking to UNC volleyball head coach Lindsey Oates. This volleyball team took care of Colorado State for the first time since 1982. And the list of players that you have, you just read them off. And, you know, Daisy Schultz, Sid Cole, Mackenzie Harris, as we've talked about a lot in the past, an Eaton Red native, of course. I mean, you want these players in key moments. You know, when you see a rough set like that, you want to be able to see them bounce back in a big way and lead this team. And they did. They were all coming up with some big moments for you guys.
They did, yeah. I thought especially our two middle blockers, CeCe Hewn and Lauren Strain, really had breakout matches for themselves in their career. That they were, attacking-wise, they were the ones we were setting in key moments and came up with some really big blocks as well. That has not been their role in the past. This is, you know, Lauren's first year as a starter, and CeCe was kind of our fifth hitter on our, you know, team last year, and so never was the one getting set in those clutch moments. And so I was really proud of those two middles for coming up big in such a great matchup.
Yeah, no question about it. And already, Coach, to start this season off, I mean, you guys have rattled off some pretty fantastic wins. You know, Northwestern, seeing the CSU side of it. I mean, my goodness, talk about a way to start your season.
Yeah, I mean, we're only two matches in, so there's a lot of volleyball left, but two big wins. You know, when we look back at the season and it's just a W next to that line, that's big. Because like I said, either of these matches could have gone the other direction, and we could have played the same volleyball, really, except for the last 2 points, and be 0-2. And so we are very fortunate and thankful to be 2-0 at this point, because as we look back on it, that's the only thing that's going to matter come then. So we got a lot of learning to do. We got to play cleaner volleyball, especially going into this weekend. But I like where we're at and how resilient our team has been.
Do you think about the historic side of it much? Does it register with you, or are you just kind of, because you know, coaches, a lot of coaches will say that, hey, no, these are just, it's on to the next one. But I mean, this is a big moment. Obviously, Northern Colorado, there's that fun rivalry with fans, but to beat a program that this program hadn't beat since 1982, I mean, do you think about that? Do you go, wow, holy cow, this is pretty historic for the program? Or do you just stay by the book professional? It's like, you know what? It was great to win. It's on to the next one.
Yes and no. It is that's a long time to have not beaten them. So you can't downplay it too much. You got to be honest to say, like, that finally, that's a big win. But, you know, in all honesty, it's also true that it's just this year's team versus CSU's team this year. Each year has been very different. We haven't played them every year since 1982 either. You know, all those D2 years, we're not playing against CSU. So it's not quite as drastic as it sounds. But really, in my tenure here, our best years have also been their best years. So on years where we're really talented and we're winning our conference and they're a top 20 program, and so we might be top 40, but they were still just a little ahead of us. And so it has been a while.
Yeah, well, and I asked you, it's got to be good for this, for the recruiting side of it, too, because I asked you this at Media Day, Coach, a couple weeks ago. You know, hey, is it easier to recruit in this area because they're right there? They're in your own backyard. And you said, well, kind of. It's easy because it's, you know, the distance is there. But the tough part is we're competing with really good programs that also have these teams in their backyard. So that one, for that purpose, too, that's got to be pretty good, because when you're in a recruiting battle, you can say, well, you know, we did beat them last time around.
Yeah, and, you know, for some recruits, that'll matter, and for some, they won't care at all. And so it's always good to have in your back pocket, but I'm not sure it'll, you know, make a difference with any recruit in the next 2 years. You just never know.
Yeah, well, talking to UNC head volleyball coach Lindsay Oates. Well, you turn right back around. That's what I love about volleyball. You just keep rolling. The Denver Invitational tomorrow already, as we get it, we bust into September, and you'll go up right against the Pioneers to start this thing out. So let's keep it rolling here. Let's go for that third one in a row.
For sure, yes. We're hopeful of that. I think Denver is a way more experienced team than the last two we faced. So, you know, in that regard, better. Like, they are, I would say, in mid-season form because of their veteran players, where Northwestern, CSU, and us are all in first weekend form and making a lot of errors, not playing great clean volleyball, playing really hard and doing some good things, but not consistent enough yet. And Denver is doing that. They just beat USC, who was close to top 25 last weekend. This is a very, very good Denver team that would be a great, I would say, upset, honestly. Typically, our programs are pretty similar, but right now, and maybe by November I wouldn't even consider an upset, but right now where our two programs are, it would be an upset for us to beat Denver.
And, Coach, elaborate more on that, too. You just say, hey, we're working hard, but, you know, there's some sloppiness there. You know, your feel for this team, when do you ideally want to be able to eliminate that response, right, when you want to be able to say, okay, we need to be cleaning up that sloppiness. We need to be at a point where we're getting into perfection. But when is that?
Well, honestly, we always say we want to be playing our best volleyball at conference tournament time, and so that's not till late November. And so I'm okay taking some lumps and dips, and we got to be playing really aggressive volleyball. And so with that is going to come high error. It's going to mean a lot of service errors. It's going to mean attacking errors at times that are, you know, hard to kind of grit your teeth through as a coach or even as a fan. But we know we can't just back off and play safe volleyball, and that's not going to be the identity of this team. You know, just even our style of players this year is going to be very risky. I guess you could even use that word. And so it's going to be, when it's going well, we're going to be almost unstoppable, and when it's not, it's going to be real ugly. And that's just going to be our style of volleyball, and we hope that we can be on the unstoppable side by November.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna wager that probably so, Coach. And I think it's got to be a great sign, right? Where you're saying, okay, well, the hard work's there, and that'd be one thing if you were coming on the show and you're saying, hey, I'm just, you know, we're giving up on certain stretches there. And so the good thing I think is, hey, the hard work's there. So and obviously you have the talent. There's no question about that. So ideally, things should start to round out and deform at that key time, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the other piece of that is our team chemistry is there. I really like how this group works together, and in volleyball, that's such a key aspect. It's not the, like, fluffy stuff where you think, oh, they all get along. Like, the way your on-court chemistry is in volleyball is crucial, and I really like how this team responds to each other. They know when to keep each other calm. They know when to fire each other up. I thought we were very resilient as a group last night, and so, like you said, the hard work is there. The team chemistry's there. It's the skill level and some decision making, and you know the volleyball stuff that we just got to keep getting better. And so, that's a good place to be as a coach.
I'm excited, and it looks like the fan support. And Coach, I'm looking all over the state. I'm seeing social media pictures of these arenas filling up like crazy. They're getting after it. I mean, does it just seem like? I mean, obviously people are excited about your program, but it just seems like there is a buzz around the entire volleyball scene, which is so exciting.
Well, it is. I mean, Colorado volleyball is good.
Yeah.
So CU, DU, CSU, Wyoming, Air Force, we have some really good college volleyball in our area. So there, you know, there is a good buzz. And, you know, we get to play most of those schools this year, which is rare for us. We won't play Air Force, but everybody else we're seeing. So those are fun matches as a fan to get out and watch.
Yeah, no question, Coach. It's always an honor to get you on the program and talk. I mean, this is a phenomenal win for you guys. And, hey, go get them tomorrow. Like you said, this could be a real interesting test, a battle, at least at this point in the season. But we do wish you the best of luck tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.
All right, Coach. That's UNC Volleyball Head Coach Lindsay Oates. And they beat CSU. And it's another fantastic volleyball program. So congratulations to the Bears. I saw Coach Steve Smiley, UNC basketball coach. I saw his Twitter. I mean, they're all supporting each other. You know, Coach Smiley was at the volleyball game. Troy Nickerson, the head wrestling coach, was out at the coach's show. And he was talking about volleyball on Saturday when we interviewed him. I love seeing that stuff. You don't always see that. You don't always hear it. You don't always see it. But I will hats off to this entire UNC athletics program because their coaches really do seem to support each other. 32 minutes after the hour. All right, Bears fans. We're going to bring, I guess you would call him the enemy. We're going to bring Mark Johnson. I mean, normally we're on the same side here, Colfax, but we're the voice of the Bears. He's the voice of the Buffs. We might have to challenge him to a duel, a gentleman's duel. I think we would lose that duel, but we might have to do it anyway.
Well, why not get, we were talking about wrestling matches earlier, why not get Jerry Schimmel versus Mark Johnson?
There we go, yeah.
How about that?
I think that would be fair. I don't know, Mark's like 9 feet tall, and everybody else is like tiny compared to him. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll see if he thinks the Buffs are going to cover. All that and more coming up next. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Oh, this is fitting. This is fitting. Because normally Mark and I are friends. Normally I would even probably say we're the best friends anybody could ever have. But he's the voice of the Buffs. We're the voice of the Bears. Mark, I'm sorry, man, but it's go time now. We got a big one coming up here, my friend. It's rivalry day here on the station.
Hey, listen, I don't think you want any of this, all right?
I don't think so. Colfax and I were talking about it. We're like, I mean, Jerry versus Mark. Okay, no, we need Colfax, me versus me, Colfax, Jerry versus, could the three of us take? I don't know. You're 3,000 feet tall, so I'm going to need more backup. We need tougher people here at the station at the end of the day, I've decided. We just need tougher people.
So you're thinking you and Shem and Colfax against me is what you're saying.
I'm thinking so, but my God, together I think we're 6 foot one or something.
Well, can I at least have Gary Barnett as my corner man? Can I do that at least?
I feel like it's already an unfair advantage already. And again, you've seen the staff here, Mark. None of us really do much lifting other than, you know, a soda and a Cheeto bag here. So,
right.
But all right, so I'm seeing this spread. And I don't know. I'm looking all over the place. I'm seeing spreads everywhere. 35 and a half? Buffs favored by 35 and a half?
All right. right.
What do you think?
I don't know. Well, when you start getting into that, that starts becoming insulting to the Bears, and I don't think that's fair.
It's true, and I always have a hard time. Take the local side out of it. I always have a hard time when I see 35-point spreads or 40-point spreads because I have a hard time believing Alabama is going to beat a team, you know, willy-nilly by 35, 40-plus, you know?
Right. See, and that's why I always get a little... Now, is Colorado a favorite in this game? Certainly. Should they be a favorite? Certainly. But I don't like getting into that disrespectful area and go, well, this is going to be a cakewalk. Listen, I've been around here too long and done this game for too long. In fact, somebody just... It was back to a sports center this morning. Just put the highlight out. It was 2007, so was that 14 years ago. When Appalachian State went in to beat Michigan in the Big House. So, listen, any given, in this case, Friday, something can happen. And so I don't like getting into that kind of stuff because I think it's just unfair. It's insulting to Ed McCaffrey, the Bears up there, because they're going to come out and play their hearts out. I understand that on Friday night. But, you know, should Colorado win this game? Certainly Colorado should win this game.
I was shocked, though, Mark. We kept saying 10 points less than that. I was thinking, you know, three touchdowns or another field goal add-on. So, you know, anywhere from 23, 25. So you're right. You do get into that disrespectful territory with the 35.5. And I think Colfax looked during the break, saw another one that was 36.5. So I'm definitely not there. Like I said, I think it's going to take a miracle for the Bears to pull off a crazy upset, but I don't see them losing by, you know, 30.
No, I don't think that's a fair assessment. Now, could it happen? It certainly could happen, but it also could be, you know, wasn't that many years ago when UNC came up and played the Buffaloes, and that was a relatively competitive game for a large chunk of that contest, as you recall. And so, anything could happen, and especially think of the unique circumstances going on here. You got Colorado coming off its shortened season a year ago. You've got a first-time starter, really a guy that really is playing his first significant minutes in Brendan Lewis coming up on Friday night. And for UNC, you've got a team that hasn't played in two seasons and has got a brand-new coach, and you got a quarterback that comes in from Michigan and a number of other transfers. And so this thing, for me, is real hard to sit back and really kind of get my head totally around.
Yeah, no question. We're talking to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. I saw this tweet moments ago from Brian Howell, a friend of both of ours, about Mustafa Johnson, the defensive lineman declared for the draft back in January, wasn't drafted, and now the NCAA has granted him a waiver to return to CU. Mark, I didn't even know that was possible.
I got to admit, I was a little bit surprised when I found out and saw this floating all over the media as well. Like, you know, but then again, as I thought about it, if he didn't sign with an agent and all the other steps that normally guys will do, then he just has not reported for class and not reported to camp at all. You know, that can be rectified. And so, you know, if all of that turns out to be 100% true, I'm ecstatic about it because I love him as a player. He is, you know, he's a guy that I always wondered about the next level because he's not the biggest guy in the world. And when you're talking about playing, you know, at that level as a three technique, you're going to have to be a very large man, and there are a lot of very large men you're going against. But he's got such phenomenal speed. You know, he's a little bit like, remember John Randall a few years ago in the NFL?
Yeah.
He's a guy that's a little bit like that. And so I wondered where he'd fit at the next level. But if he's coming back, man, I'll take it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's a nice name for the Buffs. And like I said, you're right. The rule, I kind of forgot about that with the agent. But, man, yeah. I mean, as we've talked about a million times on the show, it's hard to keep track of that college, even the transition to the NFL.
Well, the other thing is, Brady, too, you know, so if he comes back, I get to say one of my all-time favorite lines that I've ever said when I've been broadcasting over the years. Every time he'd make a big play, I'd always just say, remember who you are. Right? The Lion King reference there?
Yep. And Colfax even gets that one, right? I think I always joke, Colfax and I, he's younger than I am, but I think he even gets that reference.
The first time I did it, it just popped into my head one day. I'm doing a game, and he gets a stack, and I just go, remember who you are. And it was kind of funny because about 50 people on Twitter are like, what the hell does that mean? And then the other 50 are like, that's one of the great references I've ever heard.
Oh, man. Count me in for trying to pick those out when you do them. I love that kind of stuff, man. Trying to squeeze those in that maybe half the audience is like, has Mark lost it? Or the other half is like, Mark's a genius.
You know, and there is a fine line between losing it and being a genius.
Well, I think as radio people, we walk that line every single day.
No doubt about that.
I'm excited about this because I will be there Friday night. Mark, I'm going as a fan, though, so I won't. I'm going to wave at you from the stands.
Right.
Ralphie, we're going to get to see the new Ralphie. And I think this is I get a lot of pushback on this, but I think this is the greatest tradition in all of sports, a live Buffalo running around your football field.
Well, first off, it's amazing. Who's questioning that?
Well,
I mean, seriously.
I mean, you know, we've talked to a guy, his last name rhymes with Schmanutzen, who's a Nebraska fan, so he hates it whenever I say anything about, I don't even know if that's a word, but yeah, he doesn't like that. I come up with this often.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and listen, I understand if you're a rhyme, but yeah, that's hard to argue with, right?
Mm.
I mean, it's a live Buffalo. Yeah, well, you know, I saw her here just a couple of weeks ago. They had her out one day, and you know, it's... And being somebody that's involved in horses and roping and being around horses and livestock, you know, you have to train animals. And that's been the process they've been going. She's not very old. And, you know, she's very young. I think she weighs about 500 pounds, I think, something like that. So she's on the smaller side. And I know they've been working very hard for her. And the one thing you never know, and anybody out there that deals with animals on any level understands this, when they get in a new situation, you don't know what they're going to do. So do you know what she hasn't done? She's run Folsom Field, but she hasn't been at Folsom Field when there's been 50,000 people in there.
Mm.
And so, you know, a lot of longtime CU fans remember this one. When Ralphie 5, Blackie was her name, when Ralphie 5 came on, the first time they ran her was at a spring game. And she was roughly in the same age that Ralphie 6 is now. And I'll never forget this. Him and I are up in the booth, and you know, we're getting ready for the game to get underway, the little spring game. And they ran her, and Jim was talking about something, and I said, Jim, hold on a second. Ralphie is loose right now. she took off, and instead of, you know, doing the semicircle like she's supposed to, she got out there and, you know, took a left turn real hard or something, and the handlers lost her, and she was running around. And even before that, there's a few, number of years ago, long before I got here, one of them got loose before they had the Dell Ward Center, got loose and was running down Folsom Boulevard there in Boulder. And so... Yeah, you never know. So we'll see what happens on Friday. I'm excited that we finally got a new mascot and we'll have that opportunity. But you never know what she's going to do when 50,000 people are in there.
Mark, how many handlers are running with her? Was it like five or six?
Well, let's see. I was going to say, I think is there three on either side and one behind?
Or it sounds right.
Is it seven or five? Is it two on either side? And then, of course, what they do, they kind of put them... You know, like for example, in team roping, guys will stand out there, horde people in every horse, kind of haze them, make sure that steer doesn't take off to the left. They do the same thing. They'll put them in a semicircle and then try to guide her inside of that semicircle where those other handlers. But I think, you know, that's a great question. How many times have I watched that happen in 17 years and I've never actually, it's either two on either side or one behind or three and three. I think it's two and two and one, so it must be five.
Wow. I mean, those guys got to be, I mean, Mark, I could honestly picture you doing that, to be real honest. I actually could picture you just by yourself leading a buffalo out calmly.
Well,
and
you know what's funny about that? Somebody, one of the administrators the other day said, well, I was in doing some things, and they said, you know, we got to get you running with a buffalo one day. And I said, that was a great idea 17 years ago when I got here. Right now, I'm not so sure. Maybe I said, if I could bring my horse out there and run alongside her, I said, that'll be fine.
I think that would be good too. I told Colfax this. I said, the only thing better than one buffalo is like a herd of buffalo on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be cool, but I mean, there's no way, right? I can dream, but there's just no way.
No, because then it'd be carnage. We don't need carnage.
We don't need carnage, man.
Because I don't know if your listeners know this, but as much as we love Ralphie, they are interesting creatures, right?
Yeah.
Buffaloes? Oh, yeah. That's the reason Ralphie's a female and not a male, by the way.
I was going to ask you that because if you get the male side, I mean, things can really go crazy in an instant, right?
Yeah, you figure, you know, males or females are in that, you know, 800 to maybe 1,000 pound range, I think, normally. And males can get as big as 2,000 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And they get a little cranky every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. I think we have, like, the Terry Bison Ranch.
Of course,
they do some stuff with us. And, you know, they're always like, you can get up close and pet. I'm like, hey, but I'm going to stay back here just in case. Not that I'm scared.
We hear the bad stories from Custer State Park and Yellowstone every year about getting too close to the fluffy cows. Don't do that.
The fluffy. I love it, man. Mark, it's going to be a blast, man. Like I said, normally I'm all about the buffs, you know. the Bears, the Rams, but when they're playing against each other and we're the voice of the Bears, I'm going to tweet at you.
Understand.
I'm going to tweet you the GIF with the bear, and then the gloves are off, man. The gloves are off.
I fully understand. In fact, I told Sham when I see him on Saturday, I'm going to give him a Snuggie. So, you know, listen, we've been friends for a long time, but not on Friday, rather. We're not going to be friends on Friday night.
Yeah, I'm getting the group together. We're going to be like the Jets and the Sharks, and we'll snap down. It's going to be amazing. Look out for us.
Mark, like it.
My friend, always appreciate it. Looking forward to Friday night.
All right, buddy, too.
All right, man. Is it just called the running of Ralphie? Is that what it's called? Because I just tweeted that out. It's the great. I know I'm going to get flack for this, but it's the greatest tradition. I do like Air Forces, though. The Falcon, like, that's cool. That's a dream of mine, honestly, Colfax. I don't know if you knew this, but to train a Falcon, to just be my Falcon. And then I go outside for coffee, or I'm outside drinking coffee, and I just hold up my wrist, and here comes old Falcony, you know, and he's just there for me. I mean, that's a cool tradition, too.
Is that his name?
I don't know.
Falcony?
Yeah, mine would be Falcony, because I'm just not that creative anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
But that would be, I mean, I love the story, too. Like, it's just, it's a live buffalo running on the field, Colfax. I mean, it doesn't get, unless you, like, get a live lion or something, that would be pretty cool. But they don't do a lot of these. I mean, there's the bulldog, there's a couple of animals that do it, but it doesn't get any better than, I mean, what is she? I'm trying to see. She now tips the scales at just under 500 pounds. The previous one was around 1,300 pounds, so she'll probably get to that point. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, these are 1,300 pounds, but they're fast, they're powerful. I used to lug around a 4-H steer that was around 1,500. It's just meat, you know. It's just, they're just fat, and they can cause some damage to you, but not like a buffalo at 500 pounds. Scary. 12:50 the time, should be a lot of fun. We'll be right back. If you don't agree with me, let me know what you think the best college football tradition is, and we'll entertain it coming back. We got to get to this. CSU, they're dogs against South Dakota State. Disrespectful. Rams, hopefully you're taking that seriously. We'll be right back.
NoCo Now keeps you up to speed on what's happening on a local level. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Sometimes, Hooligans.
It's Ralphie's run. Not the running of Ralph. Come on, really?
I mean, yeah. we get crazy with sports, don't we? Like, we can't even say, I tweeted out, it's Ralphie's run is the, the running of Ralphie is the greatest tradition in all of sports. And I get comments that are like, it's Ralphie's run. It's what it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just like when Broncos country, Broncos land, you don't want to do that. I mean, that's a sin. So you got to be careful. Traditionalists are... they're picky, man. They're very picky. So I'm sorry. I apologize. But I'm changing. I don't care. I'm saying the running of Ralphie from now on. So that's the way I'm doing it. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Are the Bears going to cover? Are they going? Would you bet on the Bears to cover? It's the spread that I'm going with today, at least. And Colfax is seeing another one, 36.5. 35.5 is what I saw yesterday. So are the UNC Bears going to cover that? I got to think yes. I really do. I'm going to say yes. I've got my picks coming out on Friday, but it's just like that's the spread. I mean, come on. And Mark even said, he's like, at that point, it's kind of disrespectful. So I'm going to say yes, and I'll give my official picks of local and my locks of the week and all that coming up on Friday. But Friday, football Friday is going to be great. You're going to be out that Friday, though, Colfax. Is that correct? You're leaving me with Michael Kirkpatrick, the 467th to do football Friday. Does he even watch football if it's not a Bronco? I mean,
Or Washington, right?
Yeah. He likes Washington and the Broncos. Texter Noob. What is the difference between signing with an agent and the NIL? You're getting money either way. Oh, talking about Mustafa. Well, apparently they say you can't sign an agent. You can sign a marketing agent. They can represent you with businesses, but they can't represent you beyond that. I don't know what the difference is exactly. Not sure. But it's the NCAA. Your guess is as good as mine. Busy second hour. Jesse Kurtz talking Mountain West football with us later on. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, the Sacco meter. Is it coming back, Colfax? How many are they getting combined? We'll talk about it next.